Today on Know the Truth with Philip DeCourcy.
One of the challenges of speech and good conversation is saying the right thing, but also saying the right thing at the right time. A timely word is a skill and an art. Think about what you're going to say and think about, is this the right time to say it? You'll never have to say sorry for something you never said.
And welcome to Know the Truth with Philip DeCourcy. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Today, Philip explains that much like cooking, effective conversation is a balancing act of wisdom, skill, and timing. It's the conclusion of a message all about the art of wise conversation titled Those All-Important Words. Then after the message, you'll hear about a timely resource that will teach you how to provide wisdom to your own children as they grow up in a confusing world. You can learn more right now by going to ktt.org. All right, let's join Pastor Philip for today's message.
Let's take our Bibles and turn to this wonderful book of Proverbs, which enables us to live a life that glorifies God and is effective and satisfying in the long run for us. Now we're moving to the positive admonition here of the book of Proverbs, words that heal. There is a certain use of words and there's a certain content in that speech that builds people up rather than brings them down. Words that promote life. Proverbs 12, verse 25 says this, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. The book of Proverbs talks about good speech, wholesome talk, speech that heals and helps people. Look at Proverbs 10, verse 11, speaking of the righteous. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Proverbs 12, verse 18. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. You and I want to use our tongue to promote happiness and holiness and health in the lives of others. So let's look at some of the form of words that will promote peace and multiply joy and smooth out disagreements and cultivate good conversation. And so here we have the first category, words that are spoken that have been pondered and thought about carefully. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Proverbs 25 and verse 11, again, is a beautiful verse, one that worth ringing in your Bible. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. In fact, there's a beautiful picture here. What we've basically got here is some kind of ornament. If you go into some of our homes, you'll see on some of our coffee tables maybe some centerpiece that we maybe bought when we were on vacation. You know, it might be woodwork, it might be metalwork, it might be ceramic, but there it sits, and that's the picture here. There's a beautiful ornament sitting in this person's house. It's gold apples on plates of silver, crafted, worked on. And what the Bible is saying here is that just as a craftsman works on that ornament before it's put on display, so you and I need to craft our words. We need to work on our words before we ever put them on display. And so here we have an encouragement to use thoughtful words. In fact, an extension of this point, we won't belabor it, is that if you're going to use thoughtful words, you've got to listen and be quiet. Proverbs 18, verse 13, he who answers a matter before he learns is folly and shame to him. Listen. Proverbs 11, verse 12, he who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. So before you speak, listen, be quiet, think about what you've heard, think about what you're going to say, work on what you're going to say, and when you're ready and you've done all those things, put it out there for someone to hear. Too often our words are thoughtless. We don't listen. We prattle. We respond thoughtlessly. I may have told you before the story of Franklin D. Roosevelt and his frustration with the mindless replies and the blank stares he would receive at the state occasions when he was on a reception line. And so he thought one night to have a bit of fun and to test out his theory that no one really listened and they just jabbered mindlessly. He said with a big smile to each guest that came down the line, "I killed my grandmother this morning." Nine times out of 10, he would get, "How lovely. Keep up the good work, Mr. President." Until one foreign diplomat really heard what he said. "I killed my grandmother this morning," to which he replied, "I'm sure she had it coming." Well, great little story about thoughtful words. Be thoughtful. Which leads us to a second category of healing words and helpful words, timely words. We've kind of touched on it, but it's a point in and by itself. Think about what you're going to say and think about, is this the right time to say it? You'll never have to say sorry for something you never said. One of the challenges of speech and good conversation is saying the right thing, appropriate words, apt words, but also saying the right thing at the right time. A timely word is a skill and an art, and it's to be admired. And the book of Proverbs actually tells us it's to be pursued as a skill. Work on saying the right thing and take yourself to the workshop and the woodshed and work on learning when to say it, holding your tongue until the most appropriate and propitious time. Look at Proverbs 10 and verse 14. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. You don't have to say everything you know. Store it up, keep it, and then when the appropriate time comes, share it. Store up, shut up, and at the appropriate time, speak up, and you'll be very effective. Great verse is Proverbs 15, verse 23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken, look at this proverb, in due season, how good it is. That's our verse right there. This is the timely word. A word spoken in due season at the appropriate moment, at the right time, how good it is. It's better than if you had said it the day before or said it the day after. Now, this is difficult, I know, but I think if you're patient, and you acquire some people skills and you're sensitive to the prompting of the Spirit of God and you read the Word of God and learn the lessons from foolish and wise speaking, that you and I can indeed be like this. It will require patience. It will involve sensitivity. It will require us holding our tongue, storing up our knowledge until you realize, you know what, this is a teachable moment. The person's ready to hear this. And if you'll do that, your words will have impact. One day a word may be dull and pointless, but the next day pregnant with purpose. When our words are thoughtful and timely, they can revive a spirit, they can mend a heart, they can replace despair with hope, they can change a life forever. A well-timed word has the power to urge a runner to the finish line, to rekindle hope when despair has set in, to spark a bite of warmth in an otherwise cold life. You probably heard of the guy who went to his doctor right after a checkup to get the results. The doctor said, "I've got good and I've got bad news for you. The good news is that you've got 24 hours to live." And the guy said, "That's the good news? What possibly could be worse than that?" "Well, due to a clerical error," said the doctor, "I meant to tell you yesterday." Yeah, that's lame, isn't it? No. Timely word, a timely word, a thoughtful word. Here's another category of speech, a tactful word. A tactful word. We've kind of touched on it again. This is kind of extending out here. We need to use words that promote peace and bring calm. Through our words, we can turn swords into plowshares and turn our enemies into friends. We all know, don't we, by experience and by our own actions that many an argument has been stirred up or diffused depending on how a person chooses to respond. We have a saying back in Northern Ireland, you know what, he's a stirrer. You know, that this kind of person comes into a room or in a Bible study and before long they're stirring the pot. They're a stirrer. They use their words to get people all upset and wind up. They've got fighting words that tear into men like shrapnel. But the wise man, the patient pastor, the good Bible leader, well, they'll use calming and tactful words. You know these verses, they're beautiful, aren't they? Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Tactful words. Oh, that God would give us the grace to use tactful words. To use one word instead of two, to say it at the right time, and to say it in a gracious tone. Here's a striking verse. Look at Proverbs 25 and verse 15. Again, another one of these vivid images. Proverbs 25, verse 15. By long forbearance, a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone. Now, there's a picture. A tongue breaking a bone. This soft, mucousy tissue breaking a bone. And it's image that's saying that gentleness and graciousness breaks down hardness and resistance. Hardened sinners are broken down by kind words. Not Christians getting in their face, you know, telling them what's what. Telling them where they're going if they don't listen. Because this has been repeated for the third time. No, gentleness and graciousness breaks down resistance. Maybe you're in a relationship where one of the parties in that relationship has got cold and callous over the years, and you're tempted to fight fire with fire and respond in like kind. And this Bible says, you know, with your tongue you can break bones. With a soft answer you can turn away wrath. Well, here's our last thought. Thoughtful words, timely words, tactful words, truthful words. And I think, you know, if I was to categorize, and I don't really want to do that, but if I was to, this is probably, you know what, the highest use of your tongue right here. And it will incorporate the other thoughts. But it's the use of your tongue to promote truth and spread knowledge, which leads to the truth of God and the knowledge of God. Follow me here. Now, when I could go on a study of truth in the sense of integrity and honesty, and that's an important use of your tongue. But I'm using truthful here in the sense of speaking theological truth that changes lives and alters destinies. Look at these words. Proverbs 10, verse 20 through 21. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. Look at verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. The lips of a righteous man, that the talk of a Christian should feed people, nourish them, build them up. One other verse on this would be Proverbs 15, verse 7, just two out of a number. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge or spread knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. Now, the foolish person spread lies, gossip, flattery. But the wise person uses his tongue to spread knowledge. Now, when we speak of knowledge here, we're speaking about biblical knowledge, I believe, most of all, because it is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This is truth-based knowledge. This is knowledge about God through the wisdom writings that gives you a perspective on time and eternity, that helps you to live well, that helps you to live for God's glory, that helps you not to waste your days and to employ your energies to the right purposes and ends. This is wisdom, biblical wisdom. In fact, in Proverbs 8, wisdom personifies itself, speaks as if it was a lady. And speaking of itself, it says in Proverbs 8, verse 6, "Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things, for my mouth will speak truth." So when the book of Proverbs talks about knowledge and feeding other people with your words, it's speaking about you and I feeding them with the wisdom we have received, which is truth and right. And so what is the application? It is this. The best use of our tongues is to engage them in sharing the truth of God's word with others, in repeating the gospel as many times as the providence of God will allow you to do so. Are you that kind of person? Am I that kind of person where people can come and feed of us because we're nourished up in good words of doctrine? Are we the kind of person that spreads knowledge of God and His lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen to these words, Psalm 68 and verse 11. Here's what we read. "And the Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." God has given us a word. It's an eternal word. It's a powerful word. It's a lovely word. God loves us. And He demonstrated that love in that while we were yet sinners, His own Son became obedient unto death on a cross, a horrible death, where He was hurt and wounded by men. But beyond that, He was crushed between the millstones of God's holy anger poured out against sin. God loved us. Jesus died for us, and the Spirit of God came to convince men of those truths and bring them to a knowledge of those things. That's the word God has given us, and He wants us to publish it. Will you do it this week? Say, you know what? By God's grace and with God's help, I'm going to look for an opportunity to spread knowledge. Knowledge of Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5, here's what we read of the Thessalonian church, just to reinforce this point. Paul's writing to them. There's wonderful stories of conversion in that city. Paul had a hand in it. These people come out of paganism. They turned from idols to serve the true and the living God. And Paul's writing to them, recounting what God did among the Thessalonians. And in chapter 1 and verse 5, we read this. "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you being followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, you became examples. From you, the word of God was sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out so that I need say nothing." What a testimony. The word there, sounded out, is literally trumpeted forth or rang out. It carries the idea of reverberated. God spoke to them and their lives became a sounding board for God to speak to others. They were a relay station. They received a signal from heaven. By an act of God's gracious regenerating work, they came to see what they had not otherwise seen, that Jesus Christ was God's Son, come in the flesh. That flesh was torn as a payment for their sin. That signal they received by illumination of the Holy Spirit. And then they transmitted that signal to others. They were a relay station. The word of God was sounded out from them. Isn't that fantastic? Can the tongue be used for anything better than that? To sound out, trumpet out, and ring out the word of God. Christians are ambassadors. And you know what? If you think about it in sharing the gospel, it is then that we truly fulfill Proverbs 18:21. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And when you and I use our tongues to speak a word for Jesus Christ, we can be the means through our witness of God bringing life to some and others remaining in death by their own choice. Look at 2 Corinthians 2, verse 15 as we close. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 15, Paul says, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. Who is sufficient for these things?" What's that verse saying? Do you know what that verse is saying? That successful evangelism is not seeing someone saved necessarily, because the results are out of our control. Amen? Salvation's of God. It is the Spirit of God alone that regenerates the heart of man. I cannot manipulate someone to trust Jesus Christ. I cannot badger them into the kingdom. God must open the heart. God must bring light to the darkened mind. But if God uses me, and what a wonderful thing if God uses you to save someone, that's wonderful. But sometimes God uses you actually to confirm that person's deadness. And we have this idea that successful evangelism is you leading someone to Jesus Christ. Not necessarily so. Successful evangelism is you correctly communicating the gospel message. The results, God determines sovereignly. And sometimes God uses you and me to bring someone to saving faith, and sometimes He uses us as a witness against them on the day of judgment. Sometimes we see life, sometimes we see death, but it all hinges on us, our words, sharing the gospel. There's nothing more powerful than that. Life and death in our words as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. Are you using your tongue? If you work among our young people, if you work among our seniors, and I'm sure I'm going to miss a category, and on it would go, thank you for Jesus' sake. Because the tongue of the righteous spread knowledge, because there's no higher use of your tongue than to speak truthful words about the one who said, "I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life."
You're listening to Know the Truth, and today Philip DeCourcy is emphasizing the importance of purposing our words and actions to glorify God. It's the conclusion of a message titled Those All-Important Words, and you can replay it online at ktt.org. Now, if you haven't yet welcomed Jesus into your heart and life, you can do that today, right now. If you'd like some guidance, we'd be honored to pray with you. Reach out to us at Know the Truth by calling 888-644-8811. And if you've been following Christ for a while now, maybe you'd like to help us in the work of sharing the gospel with others. Perhaps you have a friend who doesn't yet know Christ, or a family member you'd like to share biblical truth with. Well, we'd like to come alongside you and help make it a bit easier. In March, when you give a gift of any amount, we'll invite you to send a copy of Philip's encouraging book, Take Cover, to a friend or family member of your choice. This book draws from Philip DeCourcy's experience as a former police officer and encourages Christians to find peace and rest in God's divine protection. Just choose a friend and we'll send it to them on your behalf. Because when you share KTT, you share truth. You'll also receive a personal copy of What God Wants Every Dad to Know. There's no better book than Proverbs for helping fathers guide their children toward good choices and away from the wrong ones. And this book lists out Proverbs' most important principles you can teach your child. It's yours when you call 888-644-8811 or give online at ktt.org or send a check in the mail. Just address your envelope to Know the Truth, Post Office Box 30250, Anaheim Hills, California, 92809. And if you've never reached out to Know the Truth before, we want to welcome you with a brand new devotional from Philip. It's called Resting in God's Faithfulness, and we want to send you a copy. Learn more at ktt.org. Well, I'm your host, Wayne Shepherd. Join us again next time for more practical wisdom from the book of Proverbs. That'll be next time, right here on Know the Truth. Today's program was produced and sponsored by Know the Truth Incorporated. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."